I want to put two scriptures together. Romans 1:32, Paul condemns those who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. He parallels vicariously enjoying what people do that is sinful with actually doing it, as if he's saying it's as bad to vicariously be involved in these sinful things as it is to actually do them. Now, when I say vicariously, what I mean is this, that you can watch something, for example, on a screen, or you can read a novel about it, or you can even look and read news about a certain thing, and actually enjoy it, whatever it is, be it pornography, be it violence, be it gossip, be it innuendo, be it murder, whatever it might be, and think, but I'm not doing that, but it's jolly interesting, and you get into it, and it is as if you are, as I say, vicariously, that is, by proxy, doing it. And you see, Paul says that that is parallel with doing it. And we may say, but I didn't. I just watched the movie. I just read the book. I just looked at it. I just, listened to the audio or whatever. And the other verse I want to put together with that is Psalm 50, verse 18, where I think David is talking about the day of judgment and how there will be, as it were, flashbacks to the actual actions and words said and things done and attitudes held. Psalm 50:18, when you saw a thief, you consented with him. You consented with him. And the word means to approve or to delight in. It doesn't mean you stole. It doesn't mean you're the thief. It means that you just loved it. You loved the story. You felt yourself into it and thought, yeah, that's cool. And this is not the same as guilt by association, which is totally not taught in the Bible. Like, if you mix with bad people, then you're a bad person. I mean, Jesus broke his bread with all sorts of sinners in order to bring them to himself. This is different. This is talking about consenting in the sense of approving and delighting in what people do. And he goes on there in Psalm 50 and talks about how you slandered your own mother's son, that is your own brother. You did these things, and I kept silent. This is Psalm 50:21. You thought that I was just like you, but I will rebuke you and set these things in order before your eyes. So as I say, I think that the Day of Judgment will, in some sense, be a going through of human behaviour. And according to the parable, if we can take it literally, the Lord says that he's going to go through the good deeds of the righteous. He's going to say, well, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And it's like flashback to them doing that. When I was in prison, you visited me. Flashback to when they'd done that in their lives. And of course, they're going to say, but that wasn't you. And the point is going to be, yes, it was. I was manifest in that weak, sinful person, that criminal who was in jail. But for the wicked, he goes through all their sins because righteousness has not been imputed to them because they didn't accept it in faith. So all they're left with is their sins, which he is going to go through with them. Now, quite how mechanically, if you like, that's all going to work out, I don't know. I mean, if it's going to happen in time as we know it, it's going to take, a lifetime to go through everything with everybody. But just as the whole judgment process could happen on the head of a pin, I think if you collapse space, you collapse time, as I understand Einstein. And so the two dimensions are sort of related. So in some form, shall we say, there will be a going through of life with people at the Day of Judgment. I think that much is clear from the parables, and how mechanically and literally it's going to happen, I wouldn't personally worry too much about, and I suggest that the dimensions of space and time will be collapsed. But, however, the point is that everything in this life, absolutely all attitudes we have, all that we do, say, think, will have its sort of its moment at the Day of Judgment. It will have its role. It will be factored into that final eternal equilibrium, into that final equation that God alone knows. And so the focus I want to give, though, is to what Paul says and what David says about taking pleasure in those who do things which are sinful. And I use the word vicarious, or sort of sinning by proxy. And I think that in our age, as as in no other age, there is this great possibility to do that. Just a couple of clicks on a smartphone, and there you have all sorts of this kind of stuff in the name of entertainment, in the name of whatever, movies, in the name of you know, freedom of expression and understanding how other people think and act and so forth. But you've got to be so careful, because it really is garbage in, garbage out, as Bob Lloyd used to say. If you want to be spiritually minded, then think on spiritual things. And you can click on your smartphone and have spiritual things going in. And a word about the news. We can justify ourselves by thinking that, oh, this is the news, this isn't fiction. Oh, this is so interesting. I mean, it's the news. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking at the news. No, there isn't in itself per se. But again, you've got to be careful, because God wants your heart. My son, give me your heart, God says. He wants our thinking. He wants our heart, because the heart or the mind is the heart, is the mind, is the thinking, the spirit of a person. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You can fill your mind with all this kind of stuff. And as I say, vicariously, by proxy, however you wish to put it, as it were, get involved in all that stuff. And I urge you, before you go to sleep at night, a lot of us probably read something, you look at something on your phone, or you read a book or something. Read something spiritual. Read the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Listen to something spiritual. Because, as I say, to be spiritually minded is the essence of all Christianity.